From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the conclusion of a message called Lessons for Life on Seeking for the Lord, part of this series of studies in the Book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled, Faith Sees the Bow. The text is Genesis chapter 9 and verse 14. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. Just now clouds are plentiful enough, but we are not afraid that the world will be destroyed by a deluge. We see the rainbow often enough to prevent our having any such fears. The covenant which the Lord made with Noah stands fast, and we have no doubts about it. Why then should we think that the clouds of trouble, which now darken our sky, will end in our destruction? Let us dismiss such groundless and dishonoring fears. Faith always sees the bow of covenant promise whenever sense sees the clouds of affliction. God has a bow with which he might shoot out his arrows of destruction. But see, it is turned upward. It is a bow without an arrow or a string. It is a bow of many colors, expressing joy and delight, and not a bow blood red with slaughter or black with anger. Let us be of good courage. Never does God so darken our sky as to leave his covenant without a witness. And even if he did, we would trust him, since he cannot change or lie or in any other way fail to keep his covenant of peace. Until the waters go over the earth again, we shall have no reason for doubting our God.
You is everlasting.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Joshua chapter 9 gives us the account of the Gibeonites, a Canaanite people who, seeking to escape the fate of the other inhabitants of the land, came to Joshua with the false claim that they lived in a far-off country and had traveled many days to seek refuge with the army of Israel. These people reflect the good and the bad, which is often part of life. They lied about their true homeland, and yet they recognize that Joshua and his people were servants of the true and living God. We've also seen the problem that Joshua and his people had failed to ask for the Lord's guidance, just as they had in the case of Ai. From this whole account, Dr. Cairns has been showing, first of all, that sinners under condemnation show great wisdom in seeking the Lord. Then, sinners who seek God need not fear being rejected. It was the grace of God that caused the Gibeonites to seek the Lord, and that's true of every sinner whose heart is inclined after God. Those who have sought the Lord must continue to seek Him, for this world is no friend to godly living. The solution to victory over the world and the lure of sin is a constant waiting upon the Lord. Now to conclude this message, Lessons for Life on Seeking for the Lord, here is Dr. Cairns.
God is looking out across His church and He sees people who say, I have sought the Lord for salvation. I'm saved. And He's saying, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. You see, whatever you have to face in this life, you will be able to face it if you seek the Lord, if you get the Lord's mind and the Lord's wisdom on a matter. You will be able to seek and find and prosper and succeed. But if you seek to live your life without seeking the Lord, then you're going to get into trouble. This is one of the great troubles that the church has got into nowadays. We have people nowadays who are preaching the way to live the Christian life. And the way to live the Christian life, according to most modern preachers, is really to live it without God. Now, they'll not say that. It's to live it without reference to Christ. They'll not say that, but that's what it comes down to. They tell you you're saved by faith, but then they have this mechanical way of living. These are the rules for your home. These are the rules for your business. These are the rules for rearing your children. These are the rules for keeping your temper in order. These are the rules. These are the rules. Listen, however much truth there may be in the various rules, we live our lives by faith, according to Scripture. Faith is direct. Pointed toward Christ. In other words, the Christian life can never be lived mechanically. It must be lived in a dynamic relationship with God. It must be lived as you seek the Lord and as you find the Lord, as you have real fellowship with the Lord, as you feel the embracing love of God, and as your own heart is turned out to Him in love, reciprocated to Him for His great love for you. You see, that dynamic relationship where faith constantly seeks and finds the Savior is the secret of Christian living. And it's vitally important that we recognize that. Just as with Israel, we face a tremendous challenge. They had a dual challenge. First, there were the amalgamated efforts of the Confederacy to destroy them. And then there was the challenge that the Gibeonites posed. That was the danger of a compromising alliance. Now, we face those very same challenges today. There is the challenge of the ungodly arrayed against the Church of Christ. A great American commentator said that hatred of the righteous is one of the strongest bonds of union between the wicked. You see it in Scripture. Pilate and Herod got together in their rejection of Christ, and yet they were enemies. They had nothing in common, but their common rejection of Christ brought them together. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were constantly fighting each other, but again, in the crucifixion of Christ, you see them getting together. And so it is today. Humanism and heathenism have little in common, but they have this much in common, that they get together to oppose the Church of God and His Christ. On a personal level, the great amalgamation of the world and the flesh and the devil shows you the concentrated fury of the opposition that the people of God must face. And let me tell you, as a church and as individuals, in fighting the battle for holiness, we must seek the Lord. You must stay in contact with God. The psalmist said in the psalm from which we were singing this morning, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on God. If there's one thing that needs to be emblazoned in every Bible-believing church and in every Christian's heart and home, it's this: wait on the Lord. We have so many people and they're running ahead of God. They're living as if God had abdicated. They're living as if the gospel had no vital input into their lives. Wait on the Lord. Settle yourself down before God. Seek His face. You need His fellowship. You need His protection. You need His guidance. You need His wisdom. Wait on the Lord. We don't only face a battle, but there's another danger. I think of the words of a German writer when he thought of the Gibeonites and the danger they posed to Israel, a danger which was overruled in the mercy of God, but which nonetheless was real. He says, this account is a warning to the church of God of all ages against the cunning and the dissimulation of the world, which often seeks for a peaceful recognition on the part of the kingdom of God and even for a reception into it whenever it may be its advantage to do so. Think of that carefully. The world not only fights the church, the world infiltrates it. The world, the flesh, and the devil are not apparent only in outright opposition to your personal life of holiness, but they are equally in evidence when they seek to get you to compromise. The world, by cunning and dissimulation, seeks for a peaceful recognition. Do we not find that all across America? It used to be that there were things that the church recognized as downright, outright sin. Today, not a word. I was reading an article just last night, written a couple of years back, by a man I wouldn't normally quote, for he is a leading officer in the National Association of Evangelicals, which is a compromising outfit. And his outfit is one of the real reasons for the situation which he was himself lamenting. But the situation he was addressing was this. He called his article, Biting the Silver Bullet. And he was addressing the millions of dollars that liquor companies pour into conservative causes and good causes. And he drew attention especially to the Coors organization. That's why he talked about biting the silver bullet, for that's, I'm told, the name of their beer. So, they give money to right-wing politicians. They give money to pro-family organizations. They give money to evangelical organizations. He said, in surveying church leaders all across America, he couldn't find one that would take on the liquor trade. Nobody now able to identify the wickedness of the number one killer in America. Nobody now able to identify the number one drug pusher in America. Oh yes, all these evangelicals can get on the presidential bandwagon and they just say no, and they're against crack, and they're against cocaine, and they're against pot, and they're against marijuana, and they're against all these drugs. And it makes them feel so good. But hypocritical liars, though they may have to be, and I use those words strongly, but I use them advisedly, they will not take on the drug that is killing more than all the rest of them put together. It's populating hell with millions of souls. But the Church of Christ has been silenced by the dollars from the beer companies. It's scandalous. That's only one example. It's only one example. It's true in the moral realm. We have preachers today divorced and remarried. Can they take a stand? Can they announce the standards of the Word of God regarding the abiding purity and integrity of the marriage bond? No, no. It's not just your Jimmy Swaggerts I'm talking about. Let me tell you, we're living in a day when what once was clearly wicked and evil is now something acceptable. When Hollywood was as pure as heaven in comparison to what it is now, not that it was ever as pure as heaven, but in comparison to what it is now, when Hollywood was turning out things like Charlie Chaplin and Butt Abbott and Lou Costello and for real spine-tingling adventure, Rudolph Valentino or something, the Church of Christ called for separation. Now when you read evangelicals on Hollywood, they're talking about redeeming the culture of Hollywood. That sounds good, doesn't it? Redeeming the culture. Redeeming prostitution. Redeeming murder and mayhem. Redeeming vile and filthy language. Redeeming it and making it redemptive and part of a Christian culture. What are we talking about? I recognize that whether you're talking about the celluloid film or whether you're talking about the modern methods of filming and digitizing pictures, etc. Look, I realize that those things can be put to good use or bad use. And I realize that Christians can take all the technology of the age and they can use it for the glory of God. But I also realize if they're to do that, they're to do it in separation from the world. We're living in an age where it's difficult to get Christians to take a stand for what's right and proper and good and biblical. It seems that everybody has some spin to put on it. Everybody has some particular reason for twisting the picture and giving themselves an out. That's the danger. How do you face that danger? You seek the Lord. Now this will sound very old-fashioned, but then I am very old-fashioned, and I'm happy to stay that way. In a day like this, when everything is drifting, you need to be anchored to something that will not shift. And I'm talking about the infallible Word of God. What saith the Scripture? Let us seek to our God. Let us find out the will of God on a matter. Let us find out what is the standard of God on a matter. And if God's standard is this, then let's stand on it. And if everybody else in the world and every other church in the world is against us, hallelujah anyway. Let's just stand for God. Let's get our stand where He stands. God's people, saved by grace, are living for Christ in a hostile environment, and therefore they need to seek the Lord. Here then are the lessons for life from this passage of Scripture. Seek the Lord for salvation. Seek Him without fear of being rejected. And having done so, keep on seeking Him, because He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let the heart of them rejoice, says the psalmist, that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. If you love him, seek him. Keep seeking him, and he will always be found when we seek him with our whole heart.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.